Welcome to the Sales Superstar Interview. Today we have someone very special, Cassandra Watson, who is actually a relative newcomer to selling. She actually only entered her industry selling in the insurance space in the last quarter of 2015. She comes from a long family history in this business, but some of her numbers are truly spectacular within the industry. In fact, recently she was just invited by one of the top companies in the industry to interview her on exactly what she's doing, which is an honor that is only offered to top producers. And in her first quarter of selling, she made the industry top 100 producers list. And we already know that if they actually continued doing that list, which they recently stopped, she would be well into the top of that list. Cassandra is a true superstar, and we are so excited to have you here. Welcome, Cassandra.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so why don't you just tell us quickly, how did you actually get into sales?
It's kind of funny. It's almost like a family thing at this point. So my mom, Mary Anda King, she got into the industry because she saw, we do long-term care. She saw her dad was needing assistance, and it was only belatedly after he passed away that we found out there were options that people could buy to help them plan to kind of avoid some of that struggle. So she saw the need for the products, and that brought her in. And now, obviously, several years later, that's how I got here.
Cool. So just tell us really briefly about what you sell and what that sale typically looks like.
Yeah, totally. So I sell a variety of long-term care solutions for people who are primarily looking to protect assets against potential future long-term care costs. So long-term care insurance with partnership protection in most states, asset-based plans that provide death benefits, and then, you know, to some extent, short-term plans that are affordable options for people who might have health issues or are a little bit older, that kind of thing.
Interesting. So that must be a really interesting sell, because you're typically, I would imagine, selling to people who may not have had any experience with this type of product or service in the past. Is that correct?
Right. It's a mixed bag. Some people are looking at it because they have a family member who needed it. Others, you know, just kind of came across an article and said, oh, maybe I should check that out.
Oh, interesting. So who taught you how to sell? You mentioned your mom, but I assume your mom would be on that list. But, you know, just tell us a little bit about who actually taught you to sell and what some of those key ideas were.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We really consider ourselves to be product specialists. So I primarily did learn our process from my mom and then Matt McCann, who's another long-term care specialist who has, they both have several years of experience helping people, but there hasn't really been any formal sales practice or class or anything like that that we took. We mostly kind of generated our process from the ground up. And, of course, I owe a lot to George Mellendorf and LTC Solutions, who are my managing agency, because they welcomed, you know, a young kid into an industry that's typically filled with a lot of older individuals.
Yeah, I'm sure being quite young, only graduating college in 2012, I imagine long-term care insurance is more of a, you know, tends to be sold by more mature people. What's that experience been like selling where you're probably quite different than the norm?
It's been really interesting. People always do a double take. And sometimes they think that I'm providing long-term care, which, you know, like actually going to people's homes and giving them
care. Oh, jeez.
So I have to take a step back and say, actually, I'm helping people plan for their long-term care later. So it's been a ride.
Now, along that line, I mean, what would you say has been your biggest sales accomplishment thus far?
Yeah, well, with any industry, there are ebbs and flows. You know, you can imagine, especially with sales.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself personally to be very resilient overall, but being resilient in this space is just imperative. I mean, products and carriers, they come and go. So being able to stay focused and kind of dedicated to what my mission is a big accomplishment that I see for myself. And every time I help someone find the right long-term care plan for them, it's an accomplishment that tells me I'm right where I should be.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just along those lines, what changes do you see happening in sales today?
I don't think it can be overstated.
Yeah.
Technology.
Yeah.
It seems like it should just be a given, but it's really not. I mean, from screen share and virtual meetings, which is how I talk 100% with my clients. I don't go to anybody's house. I don't see anybody in person. 100% of it is over the phone and the computer. So that's been a massive shift. And then even in like content and information availability for consumers, that's been a huge change. I mean, before, if you wanted to learn about long-term care, you were kind of stuck. I mean, you couldn't really get a foundation of information before you talked with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm finding that consumers are more and more educated, which is great. It leads to a more like a more fruitful discussion, better
mm-hmm.
conversation overall. But technology is just, it's pervasive now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your screen share sales process. So you know, a lead comes in or you reach out to someone. Just walk us through what that typical sales process might look like.
Yeah, so I have an assistant who sets appointments for me. So when a lead comes in, she calls, and we set an appointment, basically. We set a time, and she's prepping those leads who are becoming appointments by saying, okay, Cassandra's going to call you. What's the best phone number? And then we send a confirmation email that has a link to my website in there.
Mm-hmm.
And on my website, there's a door, basically. People knock on the door. And they enter a 4-digit key that lets them view my computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling them on the phone, and they're able to see my screen as we talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all the questions I ask, I'm, you know, pulling up things for them to see, basically. And then when we go through quotes and companies, they can see that in real time, kind of ask
cool.
questions. It's more.
Do they see your face as well, or is it just your screen?
Yeah, no faces yet. At some point, I think video conferencing will go that route, but
sure.
For
now. I was
now,
just curious. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm in almost all 50 states. Some parts of the country still have tough internet just for the screen share. So I can't imagine making the jump to
right.
video if people's internet can't support it, but.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Interesting technological issue. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned the more educated buyers. Obviously, that's a double-edged sword. What does that mean for you in terms of the types of conversations you're having in, let's say, the discovery phase? What are you typically focusing on, since they're coming to you with some information in most cases? How does that change the conversation?
I love it. Long-term care is typically considered one of the more complicated products for people to understand and for them to buy. So when they already have a foundation, they kind of feel a little more confident knowing what questions they should ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend so much time making sure that I can answer all those questions
mm-hmm.
Just from a product knowledge perspective. So I love that. When the client is well-informed, they know that I'm able to answer their questions.
Yeah.
So they know that they're talking with an expert.
Sure, sure.
Which just means that when I recommend a plan for them, they know that it's coming from somebody who really understands the market and,
right.
and what they're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, a big chunk of what we talk about is an interview. So I'm getting an extensive health history, their retirement goals, their financial goals, all in the hope that if there is a solution that makes sense for them, that, you know, that we can make sure they get the right one.
Yeah, and obviously that process of asking about those goals and really learning about them is probably building a nice deep connection just through that process naturally, would you say?
Definitely. And
yeah.
It's probably 40 minutes to an hour
yeah.
for each call, the very beginning
that.
Of each of, you know, of that first appointment.
Yeah, I love that. I think people tend to rush through that discovery process, and I think 40 minutes to an hour is just that's a healthy number for how long those conversations should be, really, really understanding what's going on. Great. So tell me about, you mentioned lead comes in. Where, of course, this wasn't on my list of questions for you, but where do your leads typically come from, and how do you generate leads for your business?
Pretty much, if you can dream it, we're working on it. So
mm-hmm.
We do it through Facebook, through Twitter. Referrals are a huge piece at this point. Kind of just a variety of different places, because, you know, the more diversified those lead sources are, the better opportunity we have to get face time with those clients.
Cool. I love it. So why do you think you're obviously, you know, you're relatively new to this industry. There are a lot of people that have been around for a long time and you surpassed so many of those people. Why do you think that you have had such a rapid ascent and you're more successful than so many of those competitors that you compete with?
Well, thanks. I think sometimes maybe just the simplest answer makes sense. So I am a true specialist. I work with all the top carriers in the industry. And like I mentioned, I'm constantly refreshing product knowledge. And then it goes back to that interview. You know, if you don't spend the time getting to know what people are looking for, you can't recommend, you know, you're just throwing a dart at the dartboard. You know, if you're not sure what they need, you're not able to ever recommend the best thing for them. I'll give you just a quick example.
Yeah.
Like, roughly 40% of the people that I talk to actually don't health qualify for standalone, you know, traditional long-term care insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are saying, hey, I want long-term care. I want to learn about long-term care. And 40% of them can't qualify. So it's important to know, you know, what questions to ask and be able to recommend the right solution. Maybe it's something totally different. Maybe it's short-term care to help them, you know, at least achieve as much of their goals, as many of their goals as they can in a long-term care event.
That's so great. You know, because one thing that I love about these conversations is that you don't use my selling system yet. You use so many of the ideas that we talk about, this idea of really understanding what's going on with them, whether they're in fact qualified for a particular product or service. And then, you know, again, it's all about catering towards what they need and, you know, what they qualify for. So I think that's just fantastic and it's so cool to hear. So what would you say is the most important sales related activity that you do each day or each week or each month? What would you say really boils down to the most important sales activity you do?
I attend basically every conference call or webinar in the industry that talks about product or underwriting. So if it's an inconvenient time or a convenient time, it doesn't matter. You know, if you get on all the distribution lists for all the carriers, and any time they want to have somebody from their organization talk, you sign up for that webinar, and then you listen. Or if you can't listen, you listen to the recording later. Because I find even if it's repetitive or even if I already know the majority of it, I can usually take away, like, one nugget, you know, from everyone or everything I hear to just kind of give me an edge next time I am in a situation where I might not know what the best thing is. Maybe it's that little nugget that helps me find the best fit for the client.
That's so great. It's such a winner's mindset because it's, you know, it's something that we talk about all the time. It's if you can go to a program or if you can learn just one idea, it's worth your time. And what I find is that people who tend to be unsuccessful, they are they're looking for 50 ideas from anything that they invest their time in. And it's the winner that are just saying, hey, if I can just get one idea from any opportunity to learn, it's worth it. That's so great. I love that you say that. It's really cool. So what is the best, I know this is a tough one, but what would you say is the best piece of advice that you could have for other salespeople out there?
Well, you know, this is kind of a hard one. I'm obviously really young. I know there are lots of people out there that have years and years, mountains and mountains of experience in sales that I don't have. But the one thing I've learned that I would communicate, I guess, is that you just have to be there. When my clients call, I'm there to answer. So if they have questions or they want to discuss the plan, I literally can't give them the answers they're looking for if I'm not there. So evenings, Saturdays, those are extra important because they're the times that are convenient for my clients. You know, they're working. They're doing this in their free time. So I can't expect them to answer a call on a Wednesday at 2 p.m. It also helps my clients. They're reassured knowing that when they have a claim or something like that down the road, I'll be there to walk them through the process too because we're there.
Right. Right. That's so true. I mean, it also seems to, you know, in another version of what you're saying, though, is just you seem to be all in, just totally committed to making it happen. I mean, would you say that's fair?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Because people still say no. I mean, I can work sun up to sundown, nights and weekends, and some people are still going to say no. But as long as you're there, you keep talking to people, people are also going to say yes, or you're going to find the ones that are really looking for the product.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So what is one mindset that you feel like any top-performing salesperson just absolutely has to have, you know, including yourself?
This one's easy for me. I'm fortunate because we have that family experience of seeing there that wasn't good, you know, a situation that hadn't been planned for. So I truly believe in my product, and that's what every top-performing person should have. Because you don't see a need for it, you don't believe in your product or see what you do as important for people, then it's probably not a great fit.
So if I'm understanding, it's just having complete confidence in the necessity or the importance of what you're selling, just total belief in that.
Yeah, you have to believe in it. You know, I don't think I could do a great job selling, I don't know, I don't have a good example, but it's easy
yeah.
Because I understand it and I know that people can truly, excuse me, people can truly benefit from it.
It's so interesting because, you know, it's something that we don't talk about a lot, right? We talk about technique and strategy and even just positive mindsets, but we don't talk about the fact that you really do have to just 100% believe with total certainty that whatever it is that you're offering to someone is important and is valuable. That's so true.
People take their cue from you. You know, if you're unsure or not convinced that it's the right product, they're going to pick up on that somehow. If you have true excitement over what you're recommending, they're going to pick up on that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love it. So what's, changing the pace a little bit, but what's one new development in your business, or in sales or in your industry that really excites you right now?
Oh my gosh. I hope this isn't silly, but my business personally, my goal is to be completely paperless this year. You know, by the end of the year. So,
cool.
Used to have paper everywhere, like files for every client, you know, just stuff everywhere. And it's all digital anyways. So why are we printing all this and having all these files everywhere? It's just a pain. So I got a Surface, a Microsoft Surface, and now I do all of my client notes on the Surface, and then I upload it right to the CRM. So there's no more printing and then writing and then scanning back in, which was always ridiculous. So that's really exciting. And carriers, insurance companies themselves, who are dinosaurs in a lot of ways, are using electronic applications now with click to sign. So if my clients aren't even using paper, why am I using paper?
Yeah,
so that's
so true.
My thing for the year.
That's a really good one, too. You know, because, you know, I work with closely with hundreds of different salespeople every year. It's amazing how so many people will still use, while they're on a phone call, they're still using a notepad to write their notes, and then there's no easy way to import it into their CRM, and so as a result, they don't do it. And so I think that's fantastic. You know, you're just obviously typing up your notes or writing on your Surface as you go, and just keeping everything in one place. And I would actually argue that what you're doing is not, it's not just about being paperless, but it's also just a different level of organization. Cause like you said, you had paper everywhere, right? And that almost implies implicitly that you were, you know, it was messy. And now it's organizing all that information in one place. If you have to refer to a particular note or a conversation that you had, it's right in your CRM. I would say that's not small. That's huge. That's awesome.
It's a huge deal. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, that file could have been in my assistant's office, could have been in my office. It was a pain. You know, who's got the file?
Yeah.
Why? All online.
Yeah, it's a pretty dorky thing to be excited about. I'm sure your friends, if you told them over a beer, wouldn't be very excited for you, but it's very cool.
Anyway.
That's great. So, last question is, I just always like to ask this, what's one book or one piece of content or one, you know, just idea from a thought leader that you would just really recommend to other salespeople?
Let's see. Okay, so that's a hard one. I've never actually read a book about sales, so I would ask your recommendation for one.
Okay.
But I do set huge store in news. You know, any client you talk to is probably going to relate to some kind of aspect of the news. Obviously, you don't want to make it political or, you know, controversial in any way, but if people are going to talk about things, they want to know where you're coming from too. So if you can't tie something into a current event, there's a problem. So I'm a big news person, but I'm curious. If you have sales books, I'll definitely take a recommendation.
I do. I have my own, but we can talk about that offline. but no, that makes sense. I'm curious. So how do you aggregate your news? I mean, obviously, you're younger, so I think that would be interesting to hear where you typically get your news. Is it online? I mean, are you still one of those people that needs to feel the ink on their fingers, or just where do you typically get your news?
I just have, like, my sites. So in the morning, I go to my office, I have my coffee, I go to all of my sites. Cool. So I look at a little bit of everything. Something odd, you know, I talk to people, all different age groups, some of them much older, who, honest to goodness, get their news from the AOL homepage.
Yeah.
So I always check the AOL homepage because they have odd stuff sometimes that, you know, people want to talk about. And still news, it's just totally different. So kind of all the usual sites and then some wonky, you know, some weird ones in there.
Yeah, that is so funny. The AOL news site. I honestly didn't even know it still existed. Incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah, my in-laws get all their news from the Yahoo homepage because that's where that's just their homepage for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's this
it's a
weird news.
One. It's AOL or Yahoo. Yeah. Totally true.
That's so funny. Well, I'm inspired. I will set the AOL homepage as my new tab. Thank you for sharing.
I think you're gonna find it buzzworthy.
Okay, good. I'll learn about what the nine people who look at the AOL homepage are thinking. I'll finally understand. Well, Cassandra, thank you so much for your time. I know I got a lot just hearing the ideas. Again, it's so fun to hear someone who is in a totally different space, is coming from a totally different perspective, hasn't even really read a sales book before, and yet, you know, you're doing it and you're making it happen and you're killing it in an industry where most people are probably have a tenure of 30 plus years, and here you are just a couple of years in and crushing it. So I know that's inspiring to me, and I know that's inspiring to other people. So please, so thank you so much for sharing your story. It's really fantastic.
Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Cool. So what I'll do is, I'll send you a copy of my book just as a thank you. And, I hope you get a chance to read it, because I think you might get some ideas. I think we have a lot in common in terms of mindset. So thank you so much, Cassandra.
I appreciate that.